Welcome to the Physics Audio Tutorial Series by Rapid Learning Center. In this audio tutorial, we will discuss describing motion, kinematics in one dimension. Describing motion, kinematics in one dimension. Objectives, kinematics in one dimension. By completing this tutorial, you will understand and describe constant velocity situations. Understand and describe accelerated motion situations, and use kinematics equations to solve motion problems. Kinematics in one dimension concept map. For each topic, we could have a concept map. This map shows relevant topics and the relationship. For this topic, we would have constant velocity and constant acceleration, both described by kinematic equations, which utilize your math skills. The basic concepts from this tutorial are: describe the motion of an object with constant velocity, describe the motion of an object with a constant acceleration, and use a variety of kinematics equations to solve assorted motion problems. Motion. Almost everything we witness in our everyday lives involves motion. Consider an airplane flying, a truck moving, a feather dropping, a race car, or a bumblebee flying around. Definition, kinematics. The mathematical description of motion without any reference to the cause. The cause of this motion will be described in a later tutorial. Vector preview. Although vectors will be fully explained in a later tutorial, a brief introduction is needed here. A vector is a quantity that has magnitude or size and direction. Examples would be velocity, displacement, and acceleration. All of these have a direction and a size. On the other hand, a scalar is a quantity that has only magnitude or size. Examples would be speed, distance, temperature, and mass. These quantities have no direction. Similarities. Velocity and speed are similar terms. They're often used interchangeably. However, there is a slight difference. Velocity includes a direction with magnitude, and speed is only a magnitude. Constant velocity. Imagine that a toy train is moving along the tracks at a constant and steady rate. There is no slowing or speeding in its motion. This motion represents a constant velocity. There is no change to its motion. Velocity formula. The velocity of this train in the previous example can be found with the formula velocity equals distance divided by time. Velocity would typically be in meters per second. Distance would typically be in meters. And the typical unit for time would be seconds. Other units can be used, but these are the most common. Average velocity. Sometimes the previous formula is written as V bar equals D total divided by t total. The bar means average. If an object moves with a constant velocity, the average velocity is the same value. However, if an object changes its velocity, this formula may be more useful. Constant velocity example. If sunlight takes about 8 minutes to go from the sun to the earth, how far away from the sun is the earth? An important hint, light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Constant velocity example 2. To solve this example problem, we need to use our formula, velocity equals distance divided by time. However, we want to rearrange that formula to solve for distance. Distance equals time times velocity. We have a time, 8 minutes, which we could convert into 480 seconds. We have a velocity, 186,000 miles per second. The product of those two, our distance, is 8.9 times 10 to the 7th miles. That's quite a large distance. Instantaneous velocity. The speed of an object at any particular instant. The average speed and instantaneous speeds may not necessarily be the same. For example, a car that gradually speeds up more and more has an instantaneous speed that always changes. Calculus connection for velocity. Since velocity can be defined as the change in position per unit of time, it can also be described as v is equal to the limit as t approaches zero of delta x over delta t. This can also be said as dx dt. These d's are not for distance, but instead this means the derivative of x with respect to time. This is not the average velocity. Instead, this is a way of describing the instantaneous velocity as a derivative of position. Remember, x is our position here, not our typical d. This x is often used for distance in mathematical discussions. Integration of velocity. If the derivative of position with respect to time is velocity, then the integral of velocity with respect to time must be position. That's simply doing the exact opposite. So, if velocity is dx dt, then x must be the integral of v with respect to t. Consider the motion of an object moving at a constant velocity. This velocity could be graphed as a function. Graphing and integrating. While moving at a constant velocity, an object will cover a certain distance over a time t. Imagine a velocity time graph where the velocity is constant. Thus, we would have a horizontal line. Algebraically, we could find this area and calculate the distance traveled by finding the area of a rectangle. Or, we could use calculus and take the integral from t to zero of v with respect to t. Instantaneous or average speed. If the police monitor your speed with a radar gun, are they checking your instantaneous speed or your average speed? It's your instantaneous speed. They would be interested in noticing if you exceed the speed limit at any particular point in time. Other methods might calculate your average speed. Acceleration. Not all things move at a constant rate, as we have previously described. Many will accelerate. Acceleration explained. For example, if you have a difficult car commute to work, you are definitely not moving at a constant rate. At any one time, you may have a high velocity, an increasing or decreasing velocity, or a velocity of even 0 meters per second. You can imagine how your velocity would change often due to traffic lights, signals, and lights. Acceleration, definition. Acceleration is the rate of change of velocity. Acceleration describes how fast an object's speed is changing per amount of time. If an object has a constant velocity, then its acceleration would be zero. Acceleration formula. Acceleration can be found by taking the change in velocity divided by the change in time. This change in velocity may sometimes be written as delta v. The delta looks like a triangle, which is the Greek letter, which represents change in. However, it's sometimes shown as v final minus v initial, or even vf minus vi. calculus connection for acceleration. Since acceleration is defined as the change in velocity per change in time, it can also be described as A equals the limit as t approaches zero of delta v over delta t, or it can be written as dv dt. Once again, this d does not stand for distance, but the derivative of v with respect to time. This means that acceleration is the derivative of velocity. Acceleration units. The typical metric unit for acceleration is meters per second squared. This describes the change in velocity each second for an object. This is sometimes written as meters per second, or m/s/s. True acceleration example. During tests to see how much acceleration a human could handle, a person on a rocket-powered sled moves at plus 1,020 kilometers per hour. They are quickly brought to a halt in 1.4 seconds. How much acceleration did they experience? As with any problem, we need to find and identify key information that we'll need to use to solve the problem. Here, we have an initial velocity of 1,020 kilometers per hour. We're given a time interval of 1.4 seconds. And because they are brought to a halt, that's a final velocity of 0 meters per second. What we don't know and what we're looking for is the acceleration. That's our unknown. You may first need to take the 1,020 kilometers per hour and convert that into meters per second. This would be done through several steps, for example, changing hours into minutes, minutes into seconds, and changing kilometers into meters. You would arrive at a speed of 283 meters per second. We can use our acceleration definition or formula. This 283 meters per second is our initial velocity. Our final velocity is zero, and a time given to us 1.4 seconds. This gives us an acceleration of negative 202 meters per second squared. This is a very substantial acceleration. Free fall. On Earth, when an object falls under the influence of gravity, it speeds up or accelerates. Thus, an object doesn't fall at a constant speed, its speed increases at a constant rate. It accelerates at negative 9.8 meters per second per second. If you haven't noticed that things speed up as they fall, that's probably because they haven't been falling for a very great time or distance. Diving. Imagine you jump off a very high diving board into a pool. How do you speed up as you fall? At time zero, you're not moving 0 meters per second. At time 1 second, you've got a speed of negative 9.8 meters per second. At a time of 2 seconds, now you're moving at negative 19.6 meters per second. At a time of 3 seconds, now you're moving at negative 29.4 meters per second. You can see that the size of your speed increases by negative 9.8 meters per second each second. Graphical description for velocity. Consider the motion of an accelerating, freely falling object. Imagine a graph of distance versus time, where the graph looks like a continuously increasing upward slope. At any particular point, the slope of a tangent line to the curve represents the instantaneous velocity. Thus, because the object is falling, the derivative or slope of this distance-time graph is equal to the instantaneous velocity and is increasing as time continues. Graphical description for acceleration. Now, imagine the same freely falling accelerating body, but a graph of velocity versus time. Here, we would get a diagonal or straight upward line. Here, the slope of dv dt is equivalent to acceleration. For a freely falling object, This value for the slope, or derivative of velocity, should be 9.8 meters per second squared. Direction and sign conventions. Upward is usually considered the positive direction. Thus, downward is usually considered the negative direction. So our acceleration from gravity is usually given a negative sign. If you were wondering, that's why we have a negative width, the 9.8 meters per second squared. Additional sign conventions. Similarly, when motion occurs horizontally, either direction could arbitrarily be considered positive. However, throughout the problem, that direction must always be kept positive, and the opposite direction must be negative. Imagine a car traveling to the left across your field of view. Since the car is moving in that direction, its velocity points that way. We could assign that positive. But if the driver hits the brakes, they are accelerating to the right. That direction would be negative. How far? How fast you speed up doesn't necessarily indicate how much farther you will go. The distance you cover is proportional to the square of the time. This formula describes this. D equals VIT plus AT squared over 2. This is the distance in meters, is equal to the initial velocity in meters per second times the time, plus the acceleration in meters per second squared times the time squared divided by 2. There are two separate terms here that must be added together to give you the distance. Falling how far? If a stone falls from rest off a cliff for 1 second, how far does it go? How about for 2 seconds? Like any other problem, we need to first find and identify key information. Here, we've got initial velocity of 0. The stone falls from rest. We know the acceleration from gravity, negative 9.8 meters per second squared. And our time would be 1 second, and then 2 seconds for the second part. What we don't know is the distance. Falling how far continued. Use our distance formula, D equals VIT plus AT squared over 2. This is actually fairly easy because our initial velocity is 0. We'll only be taking acceleration times time squared and dividing it by 2. When we plug those values in, we get a distance of negative 4.9 meters. That's the distance that a rock would fall downward, thus the negative sign, in 1 second. If we repeat the calculation for 2 seconds, we don't get double, but we actually get quadruple the distance, negative 19.6 meters. This is a substantial difference. It's 4 times as much distance because the distance is dependent on the time squared. Free fall explained. If you could take a snapshot each second of a ball rolling along a table at a constant velocity, you would see successive images equally spaced apart going along the table. However, if you could take a snapshot each second of a ball rolling along the table at a constant acceleration, it would look quite different. If the ball was speeding up, its distance covered would get gradually larger and larger and larger. As the ball speeds up, it will cover more and more distance, not a constant velocity. Free fall and mass. You might notice that some objects don't seem to fall as fast as others. For example, a rock and a feather don't fall equally. None of the previous equations incorporate mass as a variable. Thus, the mass of an object shouldn't affect how it falls. This is primarily due to air resistance. In the absence of air resistance, a rock and a feather would fall at exactly the same rate. Where could you accomplish this? Somewhere with no air resistance, like the moon or vacuum. additional formula. With some algebra, the previous formulas can be combined into an additional one that can sometimes be useful when time isn't known. This is Vf squared equals Vi squared plus 2 times a times d. Vf is the final velocity in meters per second. Vi is the initial velocity in meters per second. A is the acceleration in meters per second squared, and d is the distance. Problem solving example. If a model rocket was fired straight up with a velocity of 200 meters per second, how high should it rise before beginning to fall back to Earth? Again, we must find and identify key information. Dissect the problem looking for pieces that you'll need. The given initial velocity is plus 200 meters per second. The final velocity would be zero. That is, the rocket stops before it begins to fall back down. The acceleration from gravity is negative 9.8 meters per second squared. The time is unknown, and the distance is unknown. Let's use that new formula, Vf squared equals Vi squared plus 2ad. However, we're not looking for Vf, we're looking for d, so we'll need to do some algebraic manipulation of the formula. If we rearrange or solve for d, we get Vf squared minus Vi squared, all divided by 2a. This is the formula that we'll use for this problem. When we insert our final velocity of zero, that being squared makes our math a lot easier. We're left with squaring our initial velocity and dividing by 2a. Notice the units will cancel out, leaving us just meters. This will be the correct unit for our final answer of 2,040 meters. This positive number for our answer makes sense, since we assigned the original direction up is positive also. Calculus example. Sometimes, accelerations are not constant as we have previously assumed. If the position or distance of a particle along the x-axis is given by the function x of t equals 8 plus 9t minus 2t cubed, what will the acceleration of this particle be at exactly 3 seconds? First, you must remember that velocity is defined as dx dt. Then remember that acceleration is defined as dv dt. So, to get our mathematical relationship for acceleration, we must take the second derivative of the given position function. Calculus example solution. We'll start with our position function, x of t equals 8 plus 9t minus 2t cubed. We're omitting units here just for the sake of simplicity. Dx dt equals 9 minus 6t squared. That's the velocity. But now, dv dt equals negative 12t. That's our acceleration. So, substitute in a t of 3, and that gives us negative 36 meters per second squared. That's the acceleration at that particular point in time. To eliminate sleepless nights due to difficult physics problems, try these hints. 1. In some texts, x may be used instead of the variable d. They're equivalent. Don't let that bother you. Next, use a problem-solving method. Kudos. K-U-D-O-S. Number 1. Step K, identify the known information in the problem. Number 2, U, identify the unknown to be found. Number 3, D, define a formula based on what you know and what you're looking for. Number 4, O, output the result by doing algebra and computing, checking your calculator, etc. Number 5, S. Substantiate the answer by checking the units, significant figures, and other details. Course summary. constant velocity, v equals d over t. Acceleration, a changing velocity, a equals delta v over delta t. The distance traveled for an accelerating object depends on both velocity, acceleration, and time. D equals vit plus at squared over 2. An additional formula, vf squared equals vi squared plus 2ad. These are the main formulas from this chapter. Please note that there's more than just mathematical formulas contained in this tutorial. For example, units, time typically in seconds, distance typically in meters, velocity typically in meters per second, and acceleration typically in meters per second squared. Pay close attention to these formulas, units, and the concepts described too. Congratulations on completing this course. You have just shared in the great ideas created and refined by scientists such as Newton and Galileo. You now have a deeper understanding of how the world around you works. For more audio and visual tutorials in chemistry, biology, physics, and math, go to www.rapidlearningcenter.com. Thank you.